Spirit helps us in our weakness. We did not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Dear Lord, You know what we need. Every time we pray, You know what we need. And Lord, You are listening to our hearts. You understand our spirit. We pray, Father, today, You'll just enable us, encourage us, empower us, Lord, to live by the Spirit of God and to walk by the Spirit of God and to think in the Spirit of God and pray in the Spirit of God. Father, I pray You'll help us, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God has given every Christian the Holy Spirit to empower and to equip us to do what we could never do in and of our own strength. Aren't you glad about that? We don't have to do this on our own. In fact, we cannot live the life of God on our own. Shelly, on the soundboard there, on the right side, there's two little slides. If you'll take the one on the right down just a little bit, I'm getting a little feedback up here. And I sure appreciate you doing this morning. We would be sunk if we didn't have Shelly and Scott helping us out today, because all of our other techs are out of town, and so we're so grateful to have them today. I want to give you the definition of praying in the Spirit. Praying in fellowship, cooperation, and communion with the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? That means I'm only praying what I know I ought to be praying. How do you know what you ought to be praying? Because you're in fellowship. You're in communion. You're in cooperation with the Spirit of God. I think there's a lot of times that we just pray about stuff and we don't really even think about it. We don't really understand that there's so much more that God wants us to be praying about. So many things, so many places, so many people that we ought to be praying for or praying about, and we don't do it. Someone asked this question, is your prayer life, my will be done or thy will be done? I think a lot of us use it as our way to ask God, this is what I need, Lord. This is what I want. This is what, you know what? God's not concerned with what we think we need. He already knows what we need. So the best way to pray is to come to Him. The best way to pray is to live in His presence. Is your prayer life, my will be done or thy will be done? I want us to take a look at these two verses today, verses 26 and 27. And I want us to take a look at it from a perspective that helps us understand what the Holy Spirit is literally doing in our prayer life. The Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities. The word infirmity literally means to be feeble or weak or lacking authority or power. You see, if you pray in your own strength and in your own power, you lack all of those things. You lack the authority of God. You lack the power of God. You pray in a feeble position, so to speak, or a weak position. Now, what I'm saying is this. There's a lot of things we could probably pray about that really aren't even on the agenda of the Lord. But we pray about them just because we think we ought to pray about them. God can lead us in the path of our prayer life. He wants to lead us in the path of our prayer life. In fact, He helps us with the infirmity of fleshly independence. And we all have that, don't we? Man is many times too independent to even pray. Or when he does pray, it's just simple prayers that he's learned as a kid or whatever else. And he thinks that somehow that's impressing God, or that's checking off his prayer time checkbox on his list for the day. We think that we are so self-sufficient. In many ways, we don't even come to God. In many ways, we just, you know, jump off into the day and we just do what we think we're supposed to do and ask God somehow to bless that. But look at what James chapter 4, verse 2 says. You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. In many ways, we leave Him out, we don't even pray, or when we do pray, it's just simple little prayers that we've We've prayed every single time we pray. We only pray, literally pray, when we're desperate. How many times have you gotten to a point in your life where something was so desperate that you called out to God? Do you remember those times? That's real prayer, folks. That's real prayer. We ought to be desperately seeking God every time we pray. Otherwise, why would we even pray? Now, I hope you take this in the way that I'm going to say it. It kind of bugs me when people write out their prayers so that they can pray that prayer in front of people. Kind of bugs me. I'm not saying that it's always bad to write something down. There's literally lots of times I write things down that God is speaking to my heart about. But I'm not praying to make people think something good of me. You recall Jesus saw two people praying one day. One of them was a Pharisee, and he was out there praying, "Oh God, I'm so glad I'm not like this guy over here. I'm so glad that I give him my money. I'm so glad that I've done this. I'm so glad that I've done that." The problem with the Pharisee is he had eye problems. I did this. I did that. I'm so glad I'm who I am. And yet the sinner was over there simply beating his chest and praying, "Oh God, forgive me. I don't deserve for you to even listen to me." And Jesus says, which one of those people do you think God is listening to? Now, did God hear both prayers? Absolutely. He hears everything. Nothing out of His purview. There's nothing out of God's sight. There's nothing that God doesn't know. But which one of those prayers was He listening to? James chapter 4, verse 16 says it like this: "You boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil." You see, when the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and begins to encourage us to pray, it reminds us of our own fleshly independence. And we must put that to death. We must put that to the side, because those are not things that God is going to bless. Secondly, the Holy Spirit helps us with our iniquities, with our failures, with our sins. The quality of a person's prayer is determined by the state of his or her living. What I mean by that is God is listening to our heart. He's not necessarily listening to our words, because we say a lot of things with our mouth. Man looks on the outward. God looks where? Upon the heart. And many times the things that we're saying with our mouth don't even line up with what's in our heart. So do you think that we're deceiving God by what we're praying? Absolutely not. God knows exactly what's on the inside of us. He knows what's going on. He knows where we are even when we're praying. Literally, confession brings us into a right state with the Father. What that means is if I won't confess my sins, what good is that? I'm not clean before the Lord. In fact, 1 John 1:9 reminds us that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so that our fellowship with Him can be right. But if we come to the Lord in prayer and we have sin in our heart, is He going to listen to us? Will He hear it? Yes. Will He listen to us? No. We need to confess our sins before Him and repent. Psalm 66, verse 18 says it like this: "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." That's an interesting statement by the psalmist. If I'd held on to that sin in my heart, God's not going to listen to me. He's not going to answer my prayer. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. "Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand on the holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior." In other words, we need to come to God clean. We need to realize that He helps us when we do have sin in our life to come clean with Him, to repent, to confess, to be used. Isaiah chapter 59, Verses 1 and 2 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." In other words, God knows where our heart is. He knows where we are in our spiritual life. And if we're not willing to come clean with him, he's not willing to listen to us because he knows what we're saying with our mouth doesn't line up with what's in our heart. So the very first step of the Holy Spirit's leading in prayer is the conviction that leads to confession. I think sometimes we pray like a kid at the swimming pool on the diving board. I like watching them sometimes. They're so funny doing what they do. But most of them get up there on that diving board and they just take off running and jump as far as they can or whatever it is. Or they try to do a flip and do half of it and the rest of it's under the water or whatever. I mean, they just go and they just do what they're going to do. And it's kind of fun to watch. But I don't think it's kind of fun for God to watch us just jump out there and start praying the same prayer we pray every time. I mean, what good is that? It's the babbling of the pagans. It's saying something because we think we're supposed to. God doesn't want to hear our words. He wants to hear our hearts. And that's what he's listening for. So the Holy Spirit helps us. He also helps us with our instabilities. How many of you in here today would say, "I'm kind of unstable sometimes"? Amen? Sometimes we're a little unstable. I feel that more and more as I walk. I'm a little unstable. But the fact is that God helps us with our instabilities. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Are you an unstable person? Are you a person who calls out to God because you know that you need help, but you know that you're the one who caused all the problems in the first place? The Scripture says you're a double-minded person who has no power in your prayer. You pray a certain way in front of other people. You pray a certain way so that you think God's going to hear what you're saying. But God knows our heart. He must be very first in our lives. Many years ago, and most of you will remember this, there was a skit that Abbott and Costello did called "Who's on First?" Do you remember that? And it was about a baseball team. And one of them's asking the other, "Well, you know, who's on first?" And he'd say, "No, who's not on first? He's on second." And it was so mixed up, and by the time that they got through with the whole thing, he was so confused. And the question I have to ask is, who's on first in your life? Who's on first in my life? I think many times I'm on first. I might say that God's on first, but he's not. The Holy Spirit helps me to understand, even in my own life, in my own prayer life, am I really truly praying, or am I just saying words? Psalm 37, verse 4. "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, a lot of people use this verse to say, "Man, if I just do what I'm supposed to do, then God's going to give me what I want." That's not what it says. What it says is, if I do what I'm supposed to do, he will give me what I want to do. His wants, not my wants. The only way I can know that is if I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit as he speaks to me. So he helps me in my instabilities. He also helps me with my inconsistencies. How many of you in here are inconsistent? I think we all are. Sometimes we're really doing well. Other times we're falling on our face. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 kind of give us a picture of that. The Scripture says, "Ask and it will be given to you. seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The literal translation of this means ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. We need to keep on and not give up. We cannot be inconsistent. God many times does not answer immediately because He works on His timing. And when something doesn't happen as we pray for it, we think, well, God doesn't care, or He didn't answer my prayer, or whatever else. And what God might be saying is, wait a minute. It's not my time yet. It's not time for you to get the answer that you think is the right answer. And in fact, as we wait upon the Lord, He will renew our strength. And we will mount up with wings like eagles, and we will walk and not grow weary, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. God wants us to be waiting on Him and listening to Him. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, He says, just be still and know that I am God. Don't we run into His presence just like a little kid sometimes and say, God, can you help me now? I need help now. Can you do this? What? And God might just say, wait a minute. Just be still for a minute and realize who I am. We so many times treat God like a Santa Claus. This is what I want. Please give it to me. God is not Santa Claus. He is Almighty, Holy, Perfect God. He knows exactly what we need in every situation. He helps us also in our inconsistencies. We have those so many times. The Holy Spirit helps us with our ignorance. You see, apart from Him, we really don't know what to pray. We could come up with all kinds of things. In fact, people do. Did you know that there's a whole book of prayers used in many religions? And that's what they do when they pray. They read these prayers out of the book. I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem like I am connecting with the Father through the Holy Spirit. Frustration. Here's a frustration of mine. I've got to say it out loud. How many times have you needed to get online and the internet's down? That's frustrating, isn't it? It is for me because I work from home. And if the internet's down, I don't get paid. I don't get to work. I don't get to clock in and do my job. It's frustrating. But the fact is, our connection with God can only be good when we're open to Him by the Holy Spirit. Apart from Him, we don't know what to pray. You see, we need His leadership in our prayer life. We need to pray for His burdens, not mine. We need His direction and not our direction. Folks, if we follow ourselves, if we follow everything that we think is important and the things that we want, the places we think we need to go, guess what we're going to do? We're going to miss God. We're going to miss exactly what He has in store for us. In fact, many times in Scripture, things are said like, but the best thing would have been. They missed the best thing. You can get some good things, but you'll miss the best thing when you pray without listening to God. Pray in wisdom, knowing that everything that He has, everything that He's created, is His. And He's in control, and we're not. So apart from Him, we don't know what to pray. With Him, the Scripture says we bear much fruit. John chapter 15, verse 5, one of my favorite Scriptures in all of God's Word. Jesus simply said it like this, I am the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me, abide in me, stay in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Period. You're going to. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he uses this visual with his disciples, and he says, listen, guys, as long as you're connected to me, as long as you're abiding in me, as long as you are living with me and staying with me, you're going to know what I want. You're going to be connected. But when that connection is broken, you can't do anything. I believe with all my heart, God is waiting to lead us if we'll just let Him. His Holy Spirit, I believe, is standing there right by us, tapping us on the shoulder, going, listen, I know what you're doing right now, but this is not really where God wants you to go. This is not exactly what He wants you to do. Hey, listen, do you hear me? Do you hear me? And we're just walking down life going, la, 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 I'm doing what I want to do. And at the end of the day, we look back and go, well, what good was all of that? And the Holy Spirit's going like, yeah, what good was all that? You missed the most important thing. He's waiting to lead us. We can literally pray about much outside the will of God. Folks, we can pray about all kinds of things, but it may not be God's will. What we ought to pray is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, help me understand what it is I ought to pray for. I don't need to pray for my will. My will's not good, because I know me. I don't need to pray for somebody else's will, because they're all just like me. I need to pray for your will in my life. And when I do, the Scripture says, I will bear much fruit. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit helps us in our inaccuracies. He helps us pray. What I mean by that is He intercedes, the Scripture says, He intercedes for us. In other words, He becomes the go-between between us and God. He's the one who helps us understand what we ought to be praying for and the things that we're praying for that don't really matter at all. He helps us, interceding for us. The Greek word is entetano, which means to put light upon something, to come alongside for the purpose of help. Early in the mornings, I typically, almost every single day, I get up early and I take my dog out for a walk out at the golf course. Now, at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's pretty dark out there. And there's a lot of things you can't see. So I have this little thing that I put on my hat. It's called a little headlamp. And I use that headlamp, and it's amazing. When I turn that on, I can see all kinds of things. Every once in a while, I forget to get it on my way out there, and I step in holes. I almost fall down, all kinds of stuff, because I can't see. The Holy Spirit is our illumination. He is the one who helps us to see the will of God rather than our own wills. His will, by the way, God's will, supersedes our will. What He desires, what He plans, what He has chosen is so much more important than what we do. We might pray for healing when what He has is something different, a different purpose in mind. I can give you an exact situation like that. Many years ago, there was a lady, a pianist in our church down in Texas. She was incredible on the piano. She could play anything in any key. I mean, she was just amazing. She was a young mom. She had 3 little girls. And they all looked just like her. And they were all, full of life. And I'll never forget that I got a call one night from her husband, Donnie. And he called and he said, listen, I want to tell you, we've had to put Barbara in the hospital. She has cancer, and they don't think there's anything they can do about it. It had progressed so far that there was no treatment for it. It was something that kind of took them by surprise. And so about the next 3 weeks, I was up at the hospital every day watching her go downhill. And I remember sitting on the floor, praying with Donnie, her husband. And he was a godly young man. He was a little older than me, but he was still pretty young. And I remember him saying this. I said, Donnie, let's just pray right now that Barbara will be healed. And he said, no, wait a minute. He said, she's going to be healed one way or the other. Let's pray that what she's going through right now will make an impact on someone else for the cause of Christ. And I went, and it hit me. You know, yeah, we can pray for healing. And we oftentimes do. But what we usually don't pray is, Lord, take the situation that this person's in and use it for your glory. So that people can be brought to you. And so they can understand that even in the midst of struggles, you're right there with us. And that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And from that point on, I started realizing that when I'd go and visit a hospital, I'd often pray for the folks that were there. And I honestly asked for them to be healed. But there's so much more than that. Because what good is it for her to be physically healed and then 10 years later die of something else? The bottom line is, what is God going to do in the midst of the situation that we're in today? Because we don't know that we'll have tomorrow. And we can't do anything about yesterday. But this is the day that the Lord has made. And so how we pray is so important. The Holy Spirit, lastly this morning, helps us with our inarticulations. Sometimes we just don't know what it is we ought to say. Look at that verse. And we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, groans that words can't even express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Sometimes we're just at a loss for words. So Lord, what is it we're supposed to pray? Sometimes it's because we're emotionally inept to articulate what God is doing in the person's life or in our lives. We don't know exactly how to put it. We don't know exactly what it is we ought to say. Sometimes I just get before God and I just groan. I just hurt. I cry. I call out to Him. But I can't express how I feel. But God knows. Maybe all you can do is groan or cry. Maybe you just don't know what it is you ought to pray. But even in that situation, the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit can hear our hearts. Even though I can't put it into words, He can. And He intercedes for me before the Father. And not only can He intercede for me before the Father, He can interpret what we cannot even say. He takes that which cannot be spoken and speaks it in the presence of the Father. There's the other side of that coin too. Sometimes we speak too much. When God just simply says, hey, I don't need all that extra stuff. I know everything that's happening. Just say what it is you need to say. I remember when I was a young kid, I was probably 8 years old, in the church that I grew up in North Central Texas, we had a deacon in our church, an elderly man. He was probably, I say elderly, I don't know, now, might not have seemed so elderly as it did when I was a little kid. But, you know, he was kind of a decrepit guy, and he always sat kind of in the back, in the middle, and his voice quivered when he spoke. And every once in a while, the pastor would call on him to close in prayer. And when he did, I would always just go, oh, no, because he would pray for like 15 minutes. You know, and I'm going like, oh, man, we're trying to get out of here and go eat or whatever. You know, I wasn't even concerned at that point about prayer. But he was praying all of these things. And God knows his heart. And God knows his prayers. And I think many times we put boundaries on what should be said and shouldn't be said in the presence of the Father, but God knows what we need. He knows exactly what our heart is saying. We just need to come into His presence. That is the whole deal. That's why the Holy Spirit is with us, so that we can be in the presence of God. Because without Him, we couldn't. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to help us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Can you bring that up, Shem? There it is. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. What's their reward? Everybody else thinking that there's something. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask it. So why do we pray? Because praying means I'm lining up with God. I'm lining up with His will. I'm lining up with His direction. I'm not praying so I can get something. If we pray in the Spirit, what it means is we're praying to get into where God is, to understand His will, His desires, His purpose for our life, His direction, His provision. We are praying because we want to know Him more. And the more we can come to know God and know the heart and the mind of Christ, the less we will be in control. And that ought to be our desire as Christians. Less of me, more of Him. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, You know what we need. Right now, You know what we need. And so, Lord, we simply come before You and bear our hearts open.